Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, County, Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe, Tallapoosa, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Well, thank you very much, Audrey, and I'm surprised that our crew here, we were talking about Johnny Cash songs again, as we sometimes do, and not one of them can remember Johnny's I Got Stripes, another prison song. I don't know if he sang that at San Quentin live performance that he did, where he sang Folsom Prison Blues and some other things, but welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Blog Talk Radio Network. And the Jumble Justice Radio Show. And Audrey, thank you very much again for giving us on. We could not do it without you. I'm your host, Keith Haley, and we want to thank Johnny again for taking us on that trip across 90 cities and states in the United States. And if you ever saw him, Johnny can sing that song from memory. How many people could actually do that? Emily and Mike, thank you for joining us tonight. We've got a little technical things here you want that you can help us with tonight, and you've already helped us prepare for already. All right, our purpose of our show is to discuss news, issues, events, and developments in this difficult and sometimes humorous practice of the field of criminal justice. We say that every week, and it gets almost crazier every week, and we'll start off with some news stories tonight that will get your attention, I'm sure. Our show is dedicated to these untiring police, courts, corrections, and juvenile justice professionals who provide us secure protection throughout the United States, and even U.S. professionals that do that around the world. We look inside criminal justice and take a close-up look at its professionals as they practice their profession. You're on Blog Talk Radio. That's certainly a leading-edge technology by now. We've been saying it for 4 years, and folks, we're just about 4 years. I think this next week is our fourth anniversary of being on Blog Talk Radio Network. We joined it when there weren't a whole lot of people around at that time, but what a medium. If you don't know much about it, it's one of the top 100 websites in the world now. It is possible for every human being that wants it, any group, any organization, they can have their own Blog Talk Radio show. They can broadcast worldwide and streaming audio live. Of course, streaming audio is live. To the internet worldwide, to an unlimited number of listeners. And it's absolutely free. It doesn't cost you one penny. Who can understand the finance scheme for something like that? If you go to the Blog Talk Radio site, you'll see literally thousands of shows now archived on about every subject imaginable, from laughter, yoga, to whatever, you name it. and there's a radio show there. And you could do the same thing if you want your own show. You could be signed up in probably less than 15 minutes and have a show scheduled. You might even be able to do one today. I think you do. I think you could sign up and do one 20 minutes later if the schedule isn't full. So anyway, try it if you haven't done it. It's a great thing. I'm not sure why some organizations aren't doing this. There's a lot of different ones who could. Well, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, our show is going to be about Chick Carter. Yes, that's Chick, not Nick. And this is The Boy Detective. And you know I love old-time radio shows, and particularly those detective shows. There's several hundred of them in terms of genre on archive.org. And we're going to look at Chick Carter tonight. And our first little segment we're going to hear, these were 15-minute segments decades and decades ago. And the first one tonight will be featuring Chick Carter, Boy Detective, in Pursuit of the Fat Man. interesting little show. You're listening on your computer, I suppose, or you could actually be listening on your cell phone or whatever. If you want to call in during the news segment of the show, we've got some crazy things you could comment on if you would like. The call-in number is 347-996-5983. That's 347-996-5983. And should a bunch of you call in, we can hold four at the same time. And we could probably arrange to do more than that if we really wanted to. Well, tonight we're going to start again, as we do always, every week, with Audrey's Blonde Joke. And I love her blonde joke tonight because it fits right in with our feature show topic tonight of detectives. Audrey, go ahead and let's see what you've got for us tonight. I will tell the listeners, Audrey, if you don't mind again, that Audrey is a blonde. She grew up in London, England. She's a collector of blonde jokes. She is not offended by blonde jokes. So, Audrey, go ahead. Let's hear what you have for us tonight.
Professor Haley, tonight's blonde joke has to do with our feature show content for this evening, and that is about being a detective. I think our loyal listeners will enjoy it. Here it is. A policeman was interrogating three blondes who were training to become detectives. To test their skills in recognizing a suspect, he shows the first blonde a picture for 5 seconds, and then hides it. This is your suspect. How would you recognize him? The first blonde answers, "That's easy. We all catch him fast, because he only has one eye." The policeman says, "Well, that's because the picture shows his profile." Slightly flustered by this ridiculous response, he flashes the picture for 5 seconds at the second blonde and asks her, "This is your suspect. How would you recognize him?" The second blonde giggles, flips her hair and says, "Ha, he'd be too easy to catch, because he only has one ear." The policeman angrily responds, "What's the matter with you two? Of course only one eye and one ear are showing, because it's a picture of his profile. Is that the best answer you can come up with?" Extremely frustrated at this point, he shows the picture to the third blonde, and in a very testy voice asks, "This is your suspect. How would you recognize him?" He quickly adds, "Think hard before giving me a stupid answer." The blonde looks at the picture intently for a moment and says, "Let me think. I know now. The suspect wears contact lenses." The policeman is surprised and speechless, because he really doesn't know himself if the suspect wears contacts or not. "Well, that's an interesting answer. Wait here for a few minutes while I check his file, and I'll get back to you on that." He leaves the room and goes to his office, checks the suspect's file in his computer, and comes back with a beaming smile on his face. "Wow. I can't believe it. It's true. The suspect does in fact wear contact lenses. Good work. How were you able to make such an astute observation?" "That's easy," the blonde replied. "He can't wear regular glasses, because he only has one eye and one ear."
All right, that's a good one, Audrey. Thank you very much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on a much more serious note, the Ohio Coalition Against Firearms has a public service announcement that they would like all the street criminals and thugs to hear. And if these criminals and thugs hear the street announcement, the objective of this public service message is for them to hear it, turn in their guns to a local police department, and stop committing crime. Ohio Coalition, go ahead, and we're proud again, as always, every week to play your public service announcement.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. Message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
Well, thank you very much, Ohio Coalition, and that certainly is a deadly idea. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do something tonight we haven't done for a while. We're going to skip a green tip. You know, global warming is upon us, and planet sustainability is crucial. And we're not going to look into Esma Floyd's little book entitled 1001 Little Ways to Save the Planet. We're actually going to give you a green tip that was in the news today. And we'll go ahead and start with that as our first news story in the news segment of our program. This one's really good. And, Mike, I'm going to hold you to this one. Why don't you experiment with this for a while? Let us know how you feel. And we'll know. But here's the deal. I think it's a deal. If the news story will come up. Oh, yes, there it is. If you're reading this article, it says over breakfast, the chances are you've recently stepped into the shower, lathered up your hair and torso, rinsed off, toweled, and blow-dried before dousing your armpits with deodorant and wafting on a fog of perfume or aftershave. Anybody do that? One of our listeners, I suspect they probably do, at least. Then again, maybe not. The New York Times has just reported on a new trend towards what sometimes is known as soap dodging. I haven't heard that term, soap dodging. I thought that maybe would be like somebody throwing soap at you. That's not what we're talking about. Among those who have cut down on daily showers, baths, or hair washing were a woman who swipes a sliced lemon under her armpits instead of deodorant, another who uses baby wipes to freshen up after lunchtime runs, and a salesman who shampoos only once every month and gave up antiperspirant over 3 years ago. Isn't that incredible? Let me know where they work so I don't apply for a job there. No, excuse me. This is only happening in the United States? Wrong. Think again. There are plenty of signs that this carefree attitude to cleanliness is popular in the United Kingdom also, and in some cases is growing. Last year, a poll for tissue manufacturer SCA found that 41% of British men and 31% of women don't shower every day, with 12% of people only having a proper wash once or twice a week. These figures place us behind Australia, Mexico, and France in the personal hygiene stakes. Around the same time, research by Mintel found that more than half of British teenagers don't wash every day, with many opting for a quick spray of deodorant to mask any type of, what it says, stink on their body. Over the last few years, there's been a regular suggestion that daily hair washing, or even hair washing at all, is quite unnecessary. A commentator on the news there, Matthew Parrish, admits he hadn't shampooed his hair for a decade. Excuse me. And broadcaster Andrew Marr reporting himself perfectly happy with results when he followed suit for a short while. Many people clearly agree that a regular hair wash is a hassle. In 2008, Booch reported a 45% rise in sales of dry shampoo, a product that can be sprayed on the hair between showers. I think I've seen that, actually. While the Batiste brand has recently seen its sales double. There are, of course, environmental benefits. In a bid to reduce carbon footprint to the absolute minimum, environmentalist Mr. McCarthy, 51, limits his showers to about twice a week. The rest of the time I have a sink wash, he says. I wonder what he means by that. I don't think he doesn't get in the sink. Does he mean that, Mike? Well, may not. I believe that I'm as clean as everyone else. Well, that's interesting. It's helped him to get his water consumption down to around 20 liters a day, well below the 100 to 150 average in the UK. If these people would stop drinking all that bottled water, am I right, Mike? That would get it down too, but apparently that's not going to happen because it's global warming. You have to stay liquefied. As McCarthy points out, and only recently
that we've expected people to bathe or shower every day. When he was a kid, he said the normal thing was to bathe once a week. Head much further back into history, and we find Elizabeth I, Queen of England, was bathing once a month. And then James I apparently only ever washing his fingers. Boo. In 1951, almost two-fifths of UK homes were without a bath. And in 1965, only half of British women wore deodorant. Now we've begun a fetish extreme about cleanliness to create the kind of culture where McCarthy says it's not entirely unusual for people staying in hotels to churn through 1,000 liters of water a day, showering in the morning, after a sauna, after the swimming pool, before dinner, and before bed. The international market for soaps of all kinds is now like $24 billion a year. Soap must be good business. And some dermatologists fear that this intense, regular washing is stripping our skin of, it's stripping our skin of germs that could actually be beneficial to us. That helps our skin stay healthy, balanced, and fresh. It might be worth us to occasionally miss a shower then, or two, or three, or four, or five, or ten, while being environmentally friendly is good. Smelling like whatever is not so good. So that's our green tip for tonight, is shower and bathe less. Let's see how long you can get away with it. Let's put the challenge out to our audience tonight. They can let us know how they do at work, whether people will still sit beside them, go to lunch with them, or whatever. Let's take as few showers and baths as we can. Dump all that deodorant stuff. You don't need it. And let's see what happens. Try it for a month and see what kind of reaction you get. Well, anyway, that's our green tip and our first news story for tonight. This next one, I think you need to hold on to your chair, so strap yourself in. What else is new about San Francisco, right? Well, here's what they've finally done. They're the first major in the United States city to pass a law that cracks down on the popular practice of giving away free toys with quote-unquote unhealthy restaurant meals for children. Yes, the famous San Francisco Board of Supervisors passed the law this past Tuesday on a veto-proof 8-3 vote. It takes effect on September 1st, but guess what they can't do? The law, like an ordinance passed early this year near Santa Clara County, would require that restaurants' kids' meals meet a certain nutritional standard before they can be sold with toys. Opponents of the law include National Restaurant Association and McDonald's Corp., which uses its now widely popular Happy Meal to pioneer the use of free toys to market directly to children. "We're extremely disappointed," says McDonald's. "It's not what our customers want, nor is it something they ask for. Getting a toy with a kid's meal is just one part of the fun of a family experience at McDonald's." Here's what they're doing. The San Francisco law would allow toys to be given away with meals that have less than 600 calories, contain fruits and vegetables, and include beverages without excessive fat or sugar. They don't say what that is, but probably wouldn't be too hard to find out. But I suspect that a regular Coca-Cola, my favorite drink, would not be permissible in the Happy Meal package. Backers of this ordinance say it's aimed to promote healthy eating habits while combating childhood obesity. I love the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. They're always thinking of us in so many ways. Some of the things they do going way back are so crazy. I can't even mention them on the air because we have a general audience. But this is a challenge to the restaurant industry to think about children's health first and join the wide range of local restaurants that have already made this kind of commitment. So Happy Meals is what they're going after. Well, the Center for Science and the Public Interest this summer threatened to sue McDonald's if it did not stop using Happy Meal toys to lure children into restaurants. Is that? I suppose it works. What do you get in a Happy Meal? Oh, you get McDoodler, 1979. I don't remember him or it or whatever it is. You get a McWrist wallet. Or you modern offerings have been things like Shrek or sought-after toys like Transformers, Legos, or miniature Thai Beanie Babies. I don't think I'd recognize any of those if they walked in the door. But anyway, that's the deal. In 2006, the latest year for which data is available, fast food companies led by McDonald's spent more than $520 million on advertising and toys to promote meals for children. So I guess the children could go in. Couldn't you just take the child to a toy store? But apparently not. The advertising has worked. But isn't that incredible? I mean, you can't even get a McDonald's Happy Meal, that's incredible. Well, a much more serious note and different. We had elections here Tuesday. I think everybody recognizes that. Some dramatic changes were made all over the country in terms of change of status in our Congress and legislatures and governorships and over the United States. But here's one, a law that Oklahoma did. Oklahoma voters have approved a measure that would forbid judges from considering international law or Islamic law when deciding cases. I don't know if you know the background of this, folks, but some of our justices at all levels, federal courts, some of our legal scholars, I think a couple people on the Supreme Court are interested, and I know the president is using international law, in other words, cases from other courts of other nations to help them decide, as precedent, to help them decide legal decisions here in the United States. I think that is absolutely insane. Republican Rex Duncan, he's the commentator, he said the sponsor of this measure called it a preemptive strike designed to close the door on activist judges, legislating to the bench or using international law or Sharia law. As you might imagine, or not, members of the Muslim community called the question an attack on Islam, and some of them said that they're prepared to file a lawsuit challenging the measure. I think we mentioned up in Minneapolis or other parts of Minnesota, perhaps, where if you're a Muslim and you're working at some store, like a checkout at, I won't mention any chain groceries or anything like that, but if you're working at a checkout and somebody comes through with bacon or pork, you don't have to ring them up as the cashier. You can get somebody else to do that because it violates like Sharia law. I think we also mentioned that the cab drivers are allowed to resist certain kind of passengers at the airport because they're carrying or doing something that would violate their beliefs in terms of Sharia law. But I think we live in a country called the United States of America. We have federal and state statutes and codes and ordinances, and seems like that would be enough. You can't have two legal systems, as France found out. And, you know, they left them alone from about 1992 for X number of years, and then they found out that it didn't work, and they finally decided to crack down on that. But isn't that incredible? I mean, Oklahoma's finally taking a step on this ahead of everybody else. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to get Google out of the news. But our third news story tonight has to do with Google again, and let me bring this one up. A British agency now, oversight agency, now says that Google had committed a significant breach of privacy when its Street View mapping service gathered email messages, computer passwords, and other personal information without owner's knowledge. We've talked about this a couple of times on the show before, folks, but what happens is Google is collecting your pictures of your home, street number, the trees in your front yard, whether you left a wagon and kids' bicycles out at night or whatever, they're taking pictures of that yard for their street camera view on Google Maps. And probably one time or another, almost everybody's taking a look at Google Maps and hit Street View, and you can pan around like 360 degrees and see what it looks like in a particular neighborhood or corner or something like that. Well, Google, darn it, the doggone cameras have also picked up, accidentally I might add, people's email messages and their passwords on their computers. And Google says that, you know, they didn't mean it. This is still being investigated. The article says in Germany, France, Italy, and Spain, the United States Federal Trade Commission said last week it dropped inquiry after Google promised upgrades to its security practices. So the millions and millions of passwords, email messages, parts of email messages that have been collected, Google has sincerely apologized. They've done the same thing in Great Britain, and Great Britain has decided not to go forward with any type of prosecution. They could have been fined. They were granted the power to fine the companies, this new agency in Britain, about $800,000, but they're not going to do it. because Google sincerely apologized. Big Brother Watch, this is a London-based group that campaigns for privacy rights, said in a statement, this commissioner, this new British commission, is an apologist for the worst offender in this sphere of responsibility, and they're not a policeman of it. They're just an apologist. So they wanted something done about Google doing all this, but I think about that myself now. I've got one of those little flip cameras, and I've used that flip camera, and I've never checked, but I guess maybe my camera's been gathering email messages and passwords from people's homes that were caught like in the background. Is that right, Mike? I mean, does your camera do that? Pick up accidentally email messages from people? Well, that darn Google camera does. But wouldn't you know, Google is going to get it straightened out. Germany, they have to actually remove 244,000 people who have asked to have their images taken off of the street view. So that's kind of interesting. I haven't looked in any streets in Berlin, for example. I have to remember to do that. But doggone it, Google's going to get it right here eventually. Remember last week, I think we talked about Canada or the week before, but that's something. All right, this one is another this one's another eye-opener. How old do you think you would have to be before you could sue someone for causing damage, like for reckless behavior or something like that? Well, this is an article out of the New York Times, I believe, and it says that a 4-year-old is now liable for a court suit. Citing cases that go back as far as 1928, a judge in this case has ruled that a young girl accused of running down an elderly woman while racing a bicycle with training wheels on a sidewalk in Manhattan 2 years ago can be sued for negligence. This judge, Justice Paul Wooten of State Supreme Court in Manhattan, did not find that the girl was liable, but merely committed the lawsuit brought against her, another boy, and her parents to move forward. The suit talks about this claim. It can go forward, but these two, Juliet Brightman and Jacob Kahn, were both 4 years old. They were racing their bicycles, under the supervision of their mothers, by the way, along the sidewalk, and at some point in the race, they struck an 87-year-old woman named Claire Manaw, who was walking in front of the building. And what happened is, according to this complaint, is she was seriously injured. She suffered a hip fracture that required surgery, and she died 3 weeks later. Her estate sued the children and the mothers, and now the issue is whether or not this 4-year-old can be sued. And guess what? I would have never known this. I don't know anything about civil law that would mean anything. They can be sued. There are cases go all the way back to the 1920s that say someone could do that. And the critical age was 4. They're looking at case law that says, if you're younger than 4, you can't be sued, but these two 4-year-olds can be sued. Now, I don't know what you're going to get from a 4-year-old. I assume they're going to sue the parents also who were there. But then somebody said that the parents can't be responsible for that because they didn't take an active role in this alleged incident. The mother was just there sort of generally supervising, not supervising them riding on the sidewalk. You know, that's a dangerous thing. Anybody's worked as a police official in a good-sized town at one time or another had some type of accident that they've been on, or somebody's been speeding down the sidewalk on a bicycle and inadvertently sometimes, once in a while, purposely hit somebody on their bike. And, you know, most people don't realize that. I've asked people about that. They don't realize it's against the law to ride your bike on the sidewalk. A lot of people think it's safer and all that business, but it is against the law to ride your bike on the sidewalk. But who would ever believe that you could sue a 4-year-old girl for negligence in something like that? Let's skip that one about crime stats, Mike. That's a little too heavy, so pull that one down. Let's go to this one. I cannot believe this. With the healthcare system that we're proposing, it wouldn't collect data and share it with other agencies, wouldn't it? We got this new healthcare system, perhaps on hold with the election results, or as a result of the election results this past Tuesday. But a number of privacy groups have now raised alarm over the plans of our
the United States Office of Personnel Management, known as OPM, to build a database that would contain information about the health care's millions and millions of Americans. The concerns have surfaced when the OPM has provided few details about this new database, and because the data collected will be shared with law enforcement agencies, third-party researchers, and others. I wonder what "and others" means. In other words, you're going to be in a database system based on a healthcare claim or healthcare coverage, and then that information is going to be given to police departments and other third-party type of researchers, and who knows what else. That's what "others" means. That is very difficult. 15 other organizations asked the agency to release more details on the need for this database and how the data contained in it will be protected and used. But, you know, government agencies, can we get too many databases? I mean, how many have we got now? And apparently we're going to have some more, and this will be at the federal level. So now we're going to employ more people to keep track of the databases and on and on and on. What else is new about government? But isn't that absolutely incredible that is going on? Well, I think we'll stop there. There's a real quick little news story about they found a new drug tunnel, a really sophisticated drug tunnel, not one that pre-existed. It's in San Diego, south of San Diego, where they found something like $24 million worth of marijuana. $24 million worth of marijuana, stored in the end of this, in storage lockers inside of this little drug tunnel. And guess how many drug tunnels they've, you can't count that high, how many drug tunnels they've found before. Seems like there ought to be a way of stopping that, but we ought to put our best minds on that. Why don't we take some people from the NASA program that's not going to be exploring space anymore, we know they're bright, and put them over there on the southern border and see if they can figure out how to find these drug tunnels or stop them from being built altogether. Well, that's the news segment for the night, ladies and gentlemen. Now we're going to move on to a nice little radio show idea, and this is one about Chick Carter. This is a young boy detective, and he is the son of Mick Carter, the detective from a long time ago on old-time radio. And I think you'll enjoy these. These shows ran about 13 minutes plus commercials, and we're going to play perhaps two of them tonight. I think we'll have time for that, and sit back and put your feet up, and if you're a young person, imagine that you're sitting around in a room, and there's a radio up there on the table in front of you, and it's glowing, and it's amber glow with its turn dial, and you're turning into Chick Carter, the boy detective. Here's our first story.
We don't want to tip the man off. I want to obviously, the man who phoned doesn't know that Margaret is dead.
Huh?
He's planning on meeting him somewhere along the Battery in the lower part of town.
He gave you an address, did he, Chip?
Yes, but he must have been scared. He hung up right after it before I could get his complete address.
13 Whitehall Street. Something about south or someplace, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's only in the Whitehall Street now.
Gosh, you sure is a crowded neighborhood. Other than miserable buildings.
This is the lower end of town, Ted. The Baton Island ferry boat is right down there, see? In that big building.
Yes. This is a tough waterfront neighborhood. Oh, officers, stop here, please.
Do you see number 13, Ted?
Not yet. I don't want to arouse any suspicions. The police car is a little too conspicuous down here.
Last my shooting eyes, look at them houses all hunched up like that. I don't know how a body can breathe in crowded places like World City.
Officer, take the car up to the end of the street, please, and wait somewhere out of sight. We'll get in touch with you if we need you.
Okay, sir.
Do you know which way the number one, Chick?
No, we'll just walk along the street and see.
You reckon you're going to run into anything, Chick? That fellow was scared when he phoned you. He sure enough ain't going to hang around here and wait for the police to come down.
He mentioned something about instruction.
Huh?
I don't expect the man to be here, but perhaps there'll be something else.
I don't see any number 13 around here, Chick.
No. There ain't nothing but a lot of restaurants and some funny-looking shops and no 13. There you're wrong, huh?
Take a look across the street.
Hey, Chick, there's nothing but sandwich shops and fish markets.
Yeah, that little Mexican restaurant is the biggest thing over there. And it's number 27 Whitehall Street.
Read the sign over the Mexican restaurant.
Huh? 13 delicious Mexican dishes. Dine at South of the Border Cafe.
Chick, do you think that's it? The 13 is the sign above and the south part in the neighborhood.
I'll bet money it is. Come on. We're going over to some genuine Mexican food and probably a whole lot more.
I guess this was a shot in the dark, Chick. There ain't nothing in this joint. Pretty meanly, if you ask me.
Well, we'll wait a few minutes more. Hey, we'll take a little alcohol, and you can see the floor distinctly without being noticed by all the other people.
Well, everything looks perfectly harmless to me, Chick. Just a lot of people
eating. Yeah. Anyway, it seems like home to get a nice dish of tamales. Have some more, Sue.
No, thanks, Chick. The roof of my mouth is scorched now.
Huh? This looks interesting.
Well,
look over by the door.
You mean that big fat fellow that just come in?
Yes, he's looking around. He seems to be trying to find something.
He may be looking for his wife.
No. Going up to the cashier.
Well, there's nothing to get excited about, is there, Chick?
He was just asking the fellow with the money.
Oh, wait. Not quite. Look. Huh? He's giving the man at the desk a letter.
You think perhaps this is the one message mentioned?
Maybe. Now, look. That man's going to the back of the restaurant. Yes, he's going up the flight of steps to the rear. Tex, I want you to do something.
Sure, what?
This is a shot in the dark, but it might work.
Huh?
I want you to go up to the desk and ask that clerk if anyone has left a letter here for Mr. David Martin.
You mean the dead clerk? The one that was smothered with the $20 bills?
Right. Leave your cowboy hat here. Lawyers don't live in the World City.
Okay, partner. I'll see what I can do. I like just like a lawyer.
Good. If that letter is for Martin,
yeah?
Pay your check and go out.
Mm-hmm.
Hurry down to the police car at the corner and wait for us.
All right. Here goes, partner. Here goes.
This looks like a very sweet chance, Chick. After all, you have no proof if that man has anything to do with the man's phone.
Yes, I know that, too. There's not much doubt about this place being the one mentioned on the phone.
Look at Chick. The man at the counter is handing me the letter. You were right, Chick.
Well, now let him get out.
Look, Chick. What? The fat man is coming back. You'll see, Chick.
Oh, gosh, come on. You can see it already.
He's snatching the letter out of Chick's hand. He's going out the door.
Come back here, you cuss. You! I'll give you away.
Now, don't shoot, Chick. Don't cause any trouble. We've proved one thing. That fat man is the man who phoned, and that letter must be pretty important stuff. Come on, handle it. So, run down the corner as fast as you can. Tell that policeman what happened. Tell him what the fat man looked like.
Sorry, Chick.
Hey, Chick, look. There he goes. He's heading into that ferry boat building.
True. Tell the policeman to call headquarters, to cover the ferry building and watch for the fat man. Tell him to get a hold of the Baton Island police just in case he decides to take the boat ride and be on guard at that end. You come with me, Chad. We're going after him. We've got to find that man before he gets away.
A few minutes before Chick, Sue, and Tex raced after the fat man with the letter, in a parked sedan across the street from the Baton Island Ferry and the Mexican restaurant, two men watched the people on the sidewalk. One is Chatter Zipponi, a smooth monster. The other is Fred Dyke, the killer. Zipponi is too.
What time is it? Noon time. I'm hungry.
Shut up. Okay, Hammond ought to show up pretty soon. You deal with his bug having a hot shot to go yellow on you just before things start to happen.
Maybe his watch is slow.
You got stones in your head. This is all of a figure this thing out. Hammond and Mark was all set for their part. But naturally, they had to hire me, the phony, to put the finishing touches on.
How much does this job pay?
What do you care? They always give you a cut, don't they?
Only when you're working with the Park Avenue Society, boys, I like to see you. Get what's coming to you, boys.
I always get what's coming to me. Remember that.
When do we pull the job?
That's what we're here to find out. The instructions with Mailer Hammond. He's supposed to lose them at that Mexican joint over there for another guy to pick up and deliver to us. We'll find the instructions.
Put your
hands. He draws his pocket out of a crumb with three hands. Nobody knows where the orders come from.
Hey, Kenneth, look over by that Mexican.
There's
a guy killing out of the door. Look,
Hey, that's Hammond. Come on.
Hey, listen, Kenneth, there's two guys running after him. See? One of them's got a cowboy hat on, some fancy looking boots.
I don't like this. Open the door, we'll find out.
You want me to stop those two guys?
Yeah, gas them. Don't shoot unless you got it.
Yeah.
What's the matter with that guy, Hammond? He's running for the ferry boat. Who knows where we are?
It's going to fly in a couple of seconds.
Get on that boat, hurry. Don't let Hammond or those two guys get away from you. And be sure he hangs onto that envelope.
Right. He must have it on him now.
Don't let the other two guys get it.
Don't worry, Chatter. I know what to do to guys who can't mind their own business.
Well, Tex, he's on this boat. I'm positive of that.
There certainly isn't a sign of him so far. We've been all over both passengers, eh?
There ain't no way he could have slipped out of here, is there? I mean, off the boat.
No, we just barely leaked on the boat as it was pulling out of the pier.
That man was ahead of
it.
You think he'd be likely to leap into the river?
No, I don't reckon so. Not with the blocks of ice floating around there like this. How about going upstairs again for another look around?
Okay, come on. Either hiding in one of the cars below or in the engine room, sir.
We ain't got too much time, have we, Chick? You're just about ready to pull into Baton Island now.
Well, the police will be waiting at the dock. But I want to find that man first.
Mm.
He doesn't have to get away. It's just a process of elimination.
Not a funny way to act, Ernest. I can tell you, for a fat man, he sure can run.
He's got the motor to the boat already.
Yeah.
We gotta work fast.
All the people are commencing to go up to the front of the boat.
Yes, we gotta. There he is, Captain. He's in the life preserver cabinet on the front.
Yeah?
See? He's in the door. Come on.
With pleasure.
He hasn't seen us yet. We can surprise him.
He's heading for the dock. He's going mighty fast. Knows somebody must be laying for him.
Don't make any noise. Don't want to cause any scenes. Now, just a minute. Not so fast there, please.
I don't know you.
I'm sorry, but I have to talk to you.
What is it?
Hold up. A door. Now, there might be a hold up of fast, but I'm not holding you up, mister. Listen to reason for a minute. Take your hands off me. I'm a respectable businessman, and I'm not in the habit of being accosted by strangers on ferry boats. And if you're trying to panhandle, I'll turn you over to a guard. Now, make up your mind. Are you going to let me alone or get excited? I've got to talk to you.
I won't let him get away, Chick.
Oh, so you've got this gang with you, eh? Well, you won't get away with this. There are a lot of people around, and I'll just make an outcry.
Go ahead and make your outcry if you're there.
Just what do you mean by that? You know perfectly well what I mean.
It's an awful stuff for a guy who just don't want to be talked to. Here's the me.
You're absolutely right, Chick. Well, how about it, mister? Will you listen to a little sensible conversation, or shall we save you the trouble and call the police?
Why, I don't understand. There's no use getting the police, I guess. I just was talking. You know, you're running into a lot of strange things.
Well, I'm a man who minds my own business.
All right. Tell me, what is this all about? Then I'm getting out of here. I'm in a hurry.
We're representing the police department. You snatched a letter from this man here in that Mexican restaurant back in World City. May I see it?
Certainly not. This letter is intended for a friend of mine at the market. This person here tried to steal it. I had every right to take it away from him.
Perhaps you didn't know that Mr. Market was murdered last night.
No. Oh, no, it can't be true.
Yes, it's true, but it hasn't been released to the papers yet. Now, look, there are policemen waiting at the pier. They'd like to talk to you about Market. Apparently, you intended to meet him last night.
Why, yes, I did.
Come on, let's talk it all over a little more privately.
You want I should go ahead and get the police, Dick?
We'll find them as soon as we get off. Do I understand that I'm being put under arrest?
No, not at all.
We'd just like to talk to you. Now, there's nothing to get excited about. If you're innocent, you have nothing to worry about. You know that.
No, hurry, Chick. Most of the people are off the boat.
All right, you guys. Let go of that fat boy.
Don't move, Chick.
That's right, Sal. Don't move. And you stay where you are, cowboy.
Well, what is it?
You got that letter on you?
Yes.
Good. All right, now, you two guys. I got a gun in your back. You know what's good for you? You get inside that closet and stay there and stay quiet. I can dig you awful fast if you try anything.
Well, we'd be glad to. You just go right along like this. It's a little bit further.
Don't see what you can do about this. You crumbs. I told you not to try anything. What is that? What are you doing? Get away. Don't get up. You got to see them. Run, fat boy. Run. I got to see that you're taken care of. Run. Take the set of stuff. Get back, you guys. Get back. Stop it. What are you going to do? That'll take care of the two wise guys. Come on, my fat friend. That letter you're carrying is mighty important to the boys. You gotta see that you're well taken care of. I don't want no cops sticking their nose in it.
What has happened to Chicken Tex? Has the mad gunman shot injured them, or have they escaped? And what's the secret of the envelope which the fat man is carrying? Don't miss the next exciting episode in the Adventures of Chick Carter, Boy Detective.
Going to take you right to the second episode. We may not be able to hear it all, but you can go to archive.org and get the whole story under Old Time Radio Shows.
Pool.
again, sending you the adventures of Chick Carter, boy detective, the adopted son of Nick Carter, master detective, whose own strange and curious adventures are heard over many of these stations every week. We've been learning through Chick's written report to Nick how the Rattler captured Major Pennington, brought him to Crystal Cave, where he's been trying to torture out of him the hiding place of the Book of Evidence against the Rattler and his gang. But Chick and Sue tracked them to Crystal Cave, while their pals Beef and Bones went for help in the person of Chief Barlow of the Millbrook Police. But Chick and the Major have their doubts about Chief Barlow. Is he one of the Rattler's secret agents? Well, for a little while, Chick turned the tables on the Rattler, had him in his power. But Chick and the Major, not knowing the way out of Crystal Cave, picked the wrong cavern to follow. But, well, here's Chick, who's reading over what he's just written to Nick about this detective.
Listen, like I was telling you, we got the Rattler in his tough suit clutching to this big cavern that turned your voice back in 20 echoes. The Rattler seemed to be enjoying himself. Then we got Beef and Bones' code gun message. We thought we were saved, but they didn't seem worried. Well, the fun, pardon the laugh, started. All of a sudden, there was a shot. A bullet knocked Major Pennington's flashlight out of his hand. It was pitch black. Major Pennington fired his two last shots, killed two of the Rattler's men who were hiding there. Then, the Rattler gave the order to close in.
Now then,
okay, Rattler, let's go.
password probably got lost like we did. But go ahead.
Do it,
come on. He knows if the map was accurate.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Oh, go ahead. You know, maybe they'll hear you.
Suspense enough to check this out on archive.org. If you do that, you go to archive, archive.org, and then you're in the search box, you put Chick Carter, and then under the right, next to the red go button, you click the dialog box and check old time radio. It'll take you right to these four show segments. Well, I hope you enjoyed that a little bit tonight. Next week, we're going to deal with something, I believe, if we can get it together, on two active organizations that are out to find police abuse. And what they do is go out and photograph police working on the job. And it's controversial and, in fact, against the law in, I think, about four states in the United States. So check it out on the show, Bellingham. We'll see you next week. And what we're going to do now is have Vera Lynn take us off for tonight, and we'll see you next week.
We'll meet again. Don't know when. Don't know when. But I know we'll meet again. Some sunny day. Keep smiling just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello folks that I know, tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We meet again, don't know when, don't know when. But I know